mean
the law of country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, April 3rd, 2006. And this would be Newsreel, the anniversary edition. Why? Because today would actually happen to be the anniversary between myself and my lovely, beloved bride, who I married 7 years ago. And, yeah, and Sim isn't here today. And I actually managed to, because Sim had to work. Because he does this funny thing where he has to work. Of course, nobody really knows where Sim works, but that's okay. So, since he had to work, I thought it'd be romantic. I thought it would be nice to have my wife join me on the show. Because I get all these people all the time saying to me, hey, Sean, you know, what about your wife? We never hear from your wife. What's going on with your wife? Blah, 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 blah. So, I thought I'd, get her on the show. So, you know, say hello, sweetheart.
Hello, sweetheart.
Hello, sweetheart. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, that way she's on the show, and that way you can get to see the male and female perspective of my life, you know, because that's you know, how it works, right? Because we're a team.
Yeah.
You know, team Kennedy.
Team Kennedy.
Team Kennedy here, and that's pretty much how it works. Now, because she's so soft-spoken, I've got her mic turned way up, so I hope this is going to work out, and if it doesn't work out, well, I guess we're truly doomed. But we're going to have to crank the sound up way really high, so I'm going to make sure that you yell at me.
All right, I'll yell. Hey.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Get yelly. See, that's you right there. That's you. Say something.
Say something.
There you go. That's you again.
Okay.
Okay, good. So that's where you got to bear in mind that if we can't see little bumps, things are bad. All right, here we go. On with the intro. This would be Newsreel, the Wall Global Sit Rep for Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening to this program, you are as well. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free media broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, OspreyRadio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, SRN1, and 99 Nuke FM. Those are all the people who listen to me. Do you see that?
Excellent.
It's not just, you know, five kids sitting in their room. See, okay. Honey, like, everybody listens to me.
I'm convinced.
You know? Now, can I add your name to this list?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Okay, so now, because of, thank you, all my reaffiliate stages, because now my wife will actually listen to me, which is good. And you are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit, including, I don't know, I imagine, I was kind of hoping this would be the spousal episode, or the partner episode, you know? That way, you know, well, there's lots of fans who have wives and stuff.
Right.
Or girls, or partners, or females, or really effeminate male partners or whatever, you know, and maybe they want to listen in on the show, and the female partner generally doesn't listen because they're like, oh, that Sean guy's crazy, he's fucking nuts.
Of course.
Yeah, so they got to think, you know, what kind of a woman, you know, would want to spend the rest of her natural life with this guy, you know? I mean, it's been 7 years, and they say, you know, they say in a marriage, it's 7 years that they have problems at the 3 year mark.
Right.
At the 7 year mark, at the 12 year mark, and at the 23 year mark. Those are the big numbers.
Really?
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
I totally missed that 3 year mark.
Yeah, well we you know, there was no problems. I didn't have any problems.
No, I had no problems.
No, there was no problems.
I think it helps to be slightly crazy.
Slightly crazy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kinda, well, what would you say? I mean, we got 7 years in. That's a long time now. I mean, especially this day and age. Not a lot of marriages lasting 7 years, man.
Sure.
So what would be your advice for, you know, the Geek Love Club, for all the chicks out there who want to, you know, understand and deal and care and feeding of their nerd, you know, like,
well, that's a huge topic. And
well,
I don't think
boil
I
it down, you know, don't dance around it. Just get into it, you know, like don't fuck around. What is it exactly?
What is it exactly?
Yeah, like what's important? Like what would be the best piece of advice? You know, like number one, blah.
Well, there's a lot of things that you can't take too seriously.
Like,
you have to just kind of let it slide. Well, you know, a lot of the crazy collections that people like to start.
What do you mean, the crazy collections? What crazy collections? I don't have any crazy collections. What? Come on, out with it.
Like, you know, say they have a knife collection.
Okay, I met you in a knife store.
Or, sure, I didn't have a knife collection.
You worked in a knife store!
Okay, I guess I had a sort of a collection, but, I don't know. You know, all the different clothing that you like to pick up to augment your sort of more military wardrobe and, there's lots of stuff out there, but you just kind of have to flow with it.
So you just have to be tolerant? You have to just
Well, I mean, you know, I have the stuff that I like to do, too. So it's kind of like, you know, a bit of a, I let you do your thing and you let me do my thing. And I appreciate
your
thing. And
Well, that's very politically
just,
correct.
Well,
I'm now going to give my advice to all the male population of the world.
Mostly it's just...
No, this is how it works. Okay, you've had your say, you know, and now I'm going to have my say. See? I'm always that way. Yeah, you know, I'm very
You're
fair.
Great that way.
I'm good that way. Okay, so my dad gave me a piece of advice, which I think was really golden when it comes to relationships. And this one is really, really good, you know, which is, and I'm probably pissing a lot of people off with this, but I don't really care. The piece of advice is as follows. Agree with whatever she says. And then do what you want anyway. That's usually the best way to do it.
I only like the first half of that statement.
Yeah, no,
really.
It's true, though. It's true, because she'll say a whole bunch of stuff and just agree with all of it, and then do what you want anyway. And that's usually the best way to do it. And then invariably, you know, because chicks are funny. You know, chicks are weird. You know, and as well, for those of us out there that don't understand, you know, women, I've come to the conclusion that everybody, men and women, are damaged. Everybody's damaged. You know, our culture is like uber damaged, you know.
Yeah.
And so the trick is to find people who are damaged in such a way that your damage,
compatible.
You're damage compatible. So like, if she's damaged on, you know, the left side, you make sure you're damaged on the right side, because you get two left side damaged people, and then, you know, you never get anywhere.
That's bad.
Yeah, you got to stay afloat in the sea of atrocity, which is our lifestyle. So make sure that you patch up the holes in your relationship with the areas of your life that are not damaged.
So you have to say you're damaged in a balanced sort of way.
Yeah, balance the damage.
Balance the damage.
Life is about damage control. That's what it is.
It is.
It's about that. So let's get into some feedback. I mean, you're warming up. You're getting the idea of it here. You know, this is frightening. I mean, you got to bear in mind.
It's scary talking with you on the air.
It is. It's like you've probably never seen me this intense. You know, well, maybe you have. But anyway, dear Sean Kennedy, on the latest episode, you receive a letter from a teacher about recording a lecture and calling you out on the side of conformity. That's right. You remember that one? I read it on the air. It was this big, like, you recorded a lecture and you are your revolution through conformity and you suck or something like that. I got this. You weren't here for that, but that's okay.
Yeah.
She doesn't listen to the show.
I heard this one.
Did you hear this?
I heard this one.
Okay. What happened was a student recorded the lecture of a teacher who compared Bush to Hitler. The student reported the teacher and the teacher got into trouble. Which, you know, probably the teacher should have. You know, you shouldn't be really enforcing your political views on kids. But, you know, unless, of course, there are political views I happen to agree with. Bomb on! My cat swallowed a bomb. Okay, well, thank you, my cat swallowed a bomb. On to an opinion piece. Now, this is an interesting one because it has to do with antisocial behavior. Now, this is from England, okay? Where antisocial behavior is really becoming a big issue. You know, I mean, I guess these kids over there are, like, right the fuck out of control. Like, these kids are going wacko in the cracko, okay?
Okay.
So it's really out of control. Now, you got to bear in mind. There are certain things in life that, you know, are worthy of checking out and going, you know, what the hell? You know, like, for example, people should say things like, you shouldn't burn yourself. You know, this is something that, as a rule, you shouldn't burn yourself. But there are people out there who choose to do body branding. You know, they brand themselves with different things. Now, that said, there's body branding. You look at that and you go, well, okay, you know, and I've seen some body branding that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of artistic. And I've seen some body branding that is fucking heinous. It's totally hideous. And, I mean, you've seen it too.
I've seen it, yes.
Yeah, and it's not pretty. It's not fucking pretty. So, you know, when you look at it, you got to weigh the pros and cons. You know, what's the advantage? Like, why would you fight for the opportunity to body brand? I want the right to do it. Well, okay, that's really nice and vague and everything, but maybe, you know, just burning yourself isn't really so smart. You know, I mean, granted, this is kind of a bad example because you're doing something to your own body and then it gets to the rights to suicide. Should you have the right to kill yourself? Which I believe you should. If you want to, like, augment your body, you want to cut off a finger, you should have the right to do that. But, no, it's your body, right? But you got to make sure that the big problem is you have to go through a major psych eval to make sure that you're okay so you're not sick. I have been so totally sick, for example. Like, I've been completely sick, and I would want to have the right to be able to inject myself with any kind of, like, medication or whatever in order to do experimentation on myself. I think that would be fun, you know. Now, the problem... Here's a question for you. Now, this is as a man-woman kind of question thing.
Right.
On the augment, just on a tangent here, just for a sec. Okay, now, let's say we decide to spawn. Okay, we decide to do the generate another small Kennedy thing.
Right.
Right, okay. Now, you get to have the baby, like, inside of you, right?
Yes.
Okay, so, now, I would be the father. I would have to stipulate on that. Okay, and, now, I should be able to, you know, make suggestions as to, you know, the incubation of the kid. Like, you know, if I wanted to strap on little speakers and do some conscious programming on the womb, I should be allowed to do that.
Well, I think if you're both in agreement with it, then yeah.
If you're both. Well, I mean,
it's a partnership.
It's already in your body, right?
It's a
so you've already got, like, huge, huge say in what's going on. But I'm just saying that I don't get much say. You know, like, I think you should eat a lot of oil and jelly.
I'd have to think that it was, you know, reasonable or, you know, non-harmful or.
Yeah, but your hormones are all out of whack because you're pregnant, right? So you're really able to make, like,
accurate
decisions.
Throw the hormone thing in there.
Well, no, I mean, you know, because, I mean, are your hormones not out of whack? I mean, you know, I think you should sign power of attorney over to me and I can hook you up to machines.
I don't think so.
No, I mean, come on.
I don't think so.
No,
being pregnant is no reason to just throw caution to the wind and hand over the control to you.
I mean, really, you know, you've got a degree. You're the only one in this relationship with a degree. Clearly, you're smarter than I am. Clearly, you know. Other than some really bad relationship judgment skills, which you made. But other than that, you know, I mean, I think that I should have power of attorney when you get pregnant so that I can make sure that our project, codename Child, has enough, you know, stuff. You know, how about genetic
you
manipulation?
You can provide lots of other stuff.
After the kid's born, but what if it's already fucked up? You know, like, what if we can enhance the child? What if we can make him better? What if we can genetically manipulate the kid? You know? That'd be cool.
What's that look in your eyes? You're scaring me here a bit.
No! What if we could, like, genetically manipulate the kid is what I'm saying.
No!
Why not?
Because.
Because why? I mean, what? The technology's there. Let's do it. Let's fucking soup the kid up.
Let's just mess around with this when
would
we don't know what we're doing.
Would you not have wanted to have been, you know, enhanced? Like, you wear glasses. Would you like it if I could, like, manipulate your chromosomes?
Yeah, but I can
shit?
Change that now.
Yeah, you could change it now. I get under
a
scalpel.
I didn't have glasses when I was a kid.
That doesn't matter. The fact is you have glasses now. Yeah. But what if we could just alleviate the whole need for, you know, dangerous and quite, you know, disgusting sounding scalpel surgery on the eye? And then, you know, and like me, and while we're at it, we'll just make you able to run faster than most humans. Why not? And we'll just enhance a few things. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a good idea. I'm all for it, you know. And as a matter of fact, if you don't choose to enhance your child, that makes you a bad mother. That's like child abuse, don't you think? I mean, if you like, you can feed the child good food or you can feed the child okay food.
I think it's child abuse if I'm trying to meddle around with their genes and
not to make
possibly
them better.
Well, how can you say for sure that
it's
going to make them
work,
better?
In 9 months, you can try again.
Oh my goodness!
Well, I mean, you know, you got a certain sort of, you know, I don't know. It's a project, you know. You know, focus on it and everything. And we could, you know, do
right. Now I'm seeing the reason why we decided not to start any projects together in
the
first place.
I'm just saying. Okay. Anyway, antisocial behavior, which is getting away from genetics and back to the actual kid. All right. Which is usually okay. We can pretty much be in agreement. So even though you're not in my, you know, quite logical and scientific process for enhancing the baby, I think that, you know, generally, most of the problems in our society come from a lack of family unit.
Yes.
Like, the family unit is breaking down. Everybody's being raised by daycare, and that is breeding a nation of sociopaths. People are fucking going crazy. These kids are totally disconnected. They're like, I am property. They think that they're an object. They don't understand. They have no sense of roots. Union, family, none of that kind of shit. And it's basically fucking everything up.
Yep.
Now, antisocial behavior, according to the Brits, because, I mean, that's a pretty vague statement. What is antisocial behavior? What is antisocial? Okay, so they kind of narrowed it down. The Brits are good like that. Okay, antisocial behavior includes a variety of behaviors covering a whole complex of selfish, and unacceptable activity that can blight the quality of community life. So it's very much based around the society, the community.
Right.
Nuisance the neighbors. Nuisance neighbors. That's so if you fuck with your neighbors. Okay, not so good. Rowdy or nuisance behavior. Pretty vague. Pretty vague. But it's just like you're bothering people. You're being a yit. Yobbish behavior. Now this
yobbish.
Is
a, that's a
yobbish. Yeah, that's a British thing. Yobbish is. I don't know what that is. I think it's like gang-ish, you know, or intimidating groups taking over public spaces.
Okay.
Okay. So this is like, you know, the middle of the old ultra violence. Everybody all gets together and, you know, dresses in bowler hats and umbrellas and beats people with canes, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Vandalism, graffiti, and fly posting.
Fly posting.
Fly posting is when you glue little flies to a post.
Terrible.
People dealing and buying drugs on the street. Now, that's I don't know if I'd call that antisocial. I'd say, well,
it's
it is.
It's on the street. It's
well, people buying and dealing drugs, regardless of where it is illegal.
It's wrong.
So it's a crime. People dumping rubbish and abandoning cars. That's litter.
That's just carelessness.
So I don't know if I'd call that antisocial behavior either, because that's also a crime. Begging and antisocial drinking. Antisocial drinking.
Does that mean drinking by yourself?
Alone in the closet.
Alone in the closet.
I think antisocial drinking
technically is a problem.
I think antisocial drinking is I get drunk and I'm like, I fucking hate you people. I'm going to kill all of you. You know, that kind of a thing.
Excessive.
And, of course, the other well-known use of the misuse of fireworks is antisocial behavior.
That's terrible.
Kind of bizarre. Antisocial behavior doesn't just make life unpleasant and holds back the regeneration of disadvantaged areas and creates an environment where more serious crimes can take hold. These serious crimes are taking hold. On any measure of polling or survey, antisocial behavior matters and has a negative effect on far too many people's quality of life. We are committed to tackling this problem. Why does antisocial behavior happen? According to these folks, they say many factors have been identified that, while do not cause antisocial behavior, do increase the risk of it happening. Four main areas have been identified. This is from the Home Office Research and Development and Statistics as of 2004. The risk areas are poor parental discipline and supervision. The family unit has turned to shit.
Mm-hmm.
Family conflict. Again, family again turning to shit.
Yep.
Family history of probably, again, family. So the four areas all involve the family and parental involvement, attitudes, controlling behavior. So it's all four areas revolve around the fucking family.
Well, isn't this just the family environment part of it?
You know, it's...
But
no,
you know, it's
no, that's
huge.
No, that's the four area.
Really?
Oh, sorry, family environment is the first one. So all four
which is
there.
Huge, and it's on the top of the list.
It
which,
is.
Which
so, now, schooling and educational attainment. Okay. Aggressive behavior, lack of commitment to school, school disorganization, school exclusion, truancy patterns, low achievement in school.
But that
so if you're having problems
all
in school,
relates back, I think, to
well, the family's
the
your
family.
Base. So
yeah.
if your kid doesn't have any roots to take hold, he's not going to be able to grow, and the first area you grow in is in school. So and it stands to make sense. And community life, accommodation and employment. Now, this is getting a little bit older now, because community life, most kids, you know, I mean, if they've been fucked up in their family and their
right.
school has been all the shit, I mean, how are they supposed to get, you know, some community life going on then? But they're like, community disorganization and neglect, availability of drugs and alcohol, the lack of neighborhood and of attachment, growing up in a deprived area with low-income families. So if you're living in a shit area that's, you know, with bad families, I mean, that also has a problem.
Yeah.
And personal and individual factors, which are alienation and lack of social commitment. That's something that's learned. And actually, you know, these yobbish gangs, well, they have a social commitment. They're committed to their gang, right? They're
yes.
just not committed to the society. So they have a society, it's just that society doesn't have a use for them. So it's not really antisocial. This is anti-mainstream is what they're talking about here. But anyway, early involvement in problem behavior, which means they start early because, you know, they got to fuck their family. Attitudes that condone problem behavior for young people, a high prohibition of unsupervised time spent with peers and friends or other peers involved in problem behavior. Mental illness, which is kind of a sketchy area. Sketchy area. There is such a thing as mental illness.
There
yes, there are
mental illnesses that that have antisocial behaviors
attached
to them.
You know, for me to call something a mental illness should be something that shows up on a, like a scan, I would say. Like, if you were to, it should be some sort of physical kind of a thing that would show for it. Like, if your brain is not working properly and there's chemicals that aren't showing up, and that's a mental illness. Okay? Other than that, you have a software problem. There's two kinds of things with the brain. There's hardware problems and software problems. It's a hardware problem, you have a mental illness. You know what I mean? Like, there's something going on with your hardware. Mm-hmm. If it's a software problem, well, you could just be fucking evil. You know, like the pedophile thing. You know, I don't know. I'm a big fan of shooting pedophiles. I think that, you know, well, too dodgy, they gets to die. But anyway, early involvement in the use of illegal drugs and crime, which, of course, you know, fucks up your brain. The illegal drugs part. The crime part kind of fucks with your brain, too, but not so much.
Well,
as the drugs.
You know, you do it one time, it gets easier and easier. And
that's true, yeah. Yeah, the first shooter is always the hardest. Now, and they got this big thing about this antisocial behavior here. And, of course, people, you know, all over the world are like, oh, they're really warring on the children, blah, 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 blah. Now, the thing is that, is this war on antisocial behavior, war is maybe a strong term, but this whole, you know, attack on antisocial behavior, is it bad? I don't think it is.
Well, I think it's recognizing a serious problem that exists all over. In North America, obviously over in Great Britain and probably in a lot of other areas as well. It's, the breakdown of society, of the family, just starts perpetrating these problems, and it's just going to continue to get worse and worse unless people really start paying attention to their kids.
Well, now the problem with that is, of course, is that that's not going to happen. The reason why that's not going to happen is because, well, the economics.
Yeah.
Both parents need to work, otherwise they can't survive. So the invariable thing is we got three factors involved in this equation here. We've got two parents and a child.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be like this. Unless you are able to look after your kids, you shouldn't have them. That is the eventuality of where this is going to go. It's going to go, do you make enough money to have a child? Because if you cannot properly care and feed and discipline and supervise your child, we're going to get to the point where we're talking about parental licensing. Because there's just too much of a fucking problem. And if you combine that to the whole, you know, population of the world thing, a population problem, blah, 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 blah. They already got that shit going on in China. You know, I mean, it's, I think it's something that's just probably in the pipe, I would have to say.
Well,
and
it
is
could
it
be.
Bad? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I
it sounds
know.
Bad. It sounds
I mean, people, I mean, having children is a serious, serious responsibility.
It's the and biggest responsibility
it's the
in
biggest
the world.
Responsibility.
Yeah, it's huge.
And I think definitely before you decide to have kids, you have to figure out, is it possible for you to have children and have only one parent work? I think if it's not possible, then you need to seriously rethink it. Because why on earth would you want to hand your child over to somebody else and have them raise it?
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that?
Yeah. It's,
then
it's
what
not
is
really
you know? Why would you have children if you're just going to hand them over to somebody else?
And then there's the cost. Let's not forget the cost.
Well, the cost, but you know, everybody, you know, we still cost money too as we're older. I mean, there
yeah,
is
but
a cost.
The cost now is disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking like, you know, and the income is going down and the middle class is disappearing. I mean, it's fucking hard, man.
It's like any major decision you make, if you're going to buy a house, I mean, you're going to research it and look into it, see if you can afford to do it, look at what the long-term costs are going to be.
It's about a hard decision.
It's a hard, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of like cold, hard reality decisions where you can't be all fuzzy-headed about it.
True.
So that's, you know, that's, but getting back to this antisocial behavior thing, do I think that, I think maybe, you know, if we could find a way that we could, instead of treating these teenagers when they're, you know, later and they're already all fucked up, like, yeah, these people need to be dealt with, but we need
sure.
to stop, you know, we need to treat
when
the cause,
young.
Not the symptom, you know, I mean, let's solve the problem at an earlier stage.
Yeah.
Sort yourself out. This is the part of the show where people ask me, you know, advice.
Okay.
And you, since you're the
co-host. Oh, yes.
Ooh. Okay. Recently, dear Sean, recently, after starting my new job, I've begun to lose a fair amount of weight, i.e. gained 2 belt notches. Good for you. Seeing as I have lost the weight, I figure this would be a good time to do something I've wanted to do to better discipline myself and get myself both physically and mentally fit, both physically and mentally, study a martial art. There are currently 3 styles I've been looking at, namely drunken boxing, otherwise known as the 8 drunken immortals, which I'm not really keen of, 8 drunken immortals.
Right.
Tai Chi and Shaolin Kung Fu. I'm currently leaning towards drunken boxing. I was just wondering if you might be able to offer some advice and opinions on each of these three styles. I know you've studied Tai Chi in the past, and since you keep with the esoteric lifestyles, I'm sure you might be able to give me some insight into the possible benefits of each of these three styles. Moreover, if a martial art is a wise addition to one's lifestyle. Thanks much in advance. Keep on trucking and doing what you do. Knowing whatever changes may occur, there are still those of us who are behind you 100%. Which I don't want anyone to be behind me 100% no matter what I do. If I'm making asshat decisions, you are to bail immediately. All right, now. Except for you. You're with me until
the I'm with you until the bitter end.
Until the bitter end. And there is no bitter end. We actually changed our wedding vows so that it wasn't until death do us part. It was actually forever.
Forever.
Yeah. It was, like, eternal. Yeah. And I'm instantly... See, this is the funny part, is that the whole cryonics thing, you know. See...
Aren't we supposed to be addressing
this? It's my show. You have control of everything else in my life, and I can control the direction of the show. See, this is cool.
You're
this is really cool.
No, freezing me.
This is really cool. See, now, I'm into the whole cryogenics thing, right?
Yes.
Because that way, you know, I think it's life extension. Clearly, you know, it's like if you don't eat, you starve. You choose not to eat, you're committing suicide. You know, that's how it works. So if you have the opportunity to extend your life and you don't take that opportunity, that's paramount suicide. Which I should, you know, note is a sin, according to a lot of major religions. Now, we're getting looks now. Okay, so, the thing is that my beautiful and slightly, you know, beautiful wife.
Beautiful
and slightly beautiful added in addition, so that makes you very beautiful. This is the fine art of male backpedaling. you know, she's not into the freezing. You're not into the cryogenics.
I'm not really sure about it. I'd like to see a successful.
Well, it's in the future, honey. They gotta get the nanites and everything going.
Right.
So here's my plan. See,
I have problems with. You know, sure you could freeze me. My problem comes in the future when they reanimate you.
Right.
What really happens then?
What do you mean? What really happens? You wake up.
Do I? Do I really?
I don't know, really. We haven't done it yet, but there's a
That's
really good
I
chance.
That's what I mean.
Well, what are you afraid of? What if you don't
wake
up?
Well, I might be gone. Somebody else might be there.
Oh, we're talking like demonic possession here or something like that?
No. No.
Well, okay. Well, here's my point. See, if she dies first, well, if I die before she dies, she's going to get herself buried and let herself die forever, and I'll wake up and be alone in the dark in the future. But if she dies first...
What, you're not going to take, like, a DNA sample so that you can, like...
I would never do that. If she dies first, and I don't want a clone, that's just a copy, I want you, right? So if she dies first, against her wishes, I'm going to freeze her and preserve her, and I think that's very romantic. You know, just because you're a little bit fuzzy-headed.
It's
and you don't
slightly
wanna,
you, creepy, but, you know.
It's not creepy. You're going to be mine forever and ever and ever. You married me. That's it. And it was in the contract. You didn't like it? Shouldn't have signed the contract. Yeah. Yeah, too bad. So anyway, and then in the future.
Those particular vows were not really in the contract that we signed. That was just something that we said.
I've got that shit on tape.
I'm burning those tapes.
I have it. Go ahead. Sim's got it backed up. You'll never get the data back.
Sim's got everything
Ever.
Backed
Sim's
up.
Sim's got it all backed up. Yeah, you're screwed on that one.
I'm going to have to do something.
We are going
about
to. See, here, in the future, here's my plan. Is that what will happen is eventually we'll have like the digital transfer where you can download yourself into a machine. And then what we'll do is both of us will download ourselves into one robot. So like both of our personalities will combine. And we'll become like, you know, the Team Kennedy robot droid. That's what I'm thinking will be the plan. But anyway, back to the advice thing on the, I don't know how we got to robots from martial arts. Now, you did Tai Chi.
I did Tai Chi.
You did Tai Chi.
I really enjoyed it. It's not a fast martial arts. It's a very calm, slow-moving, focused martial arts. I really enjoyed it. But it depends on... what type of martial arts you want to get into.
I would say go with Tai Chi. You know, if we look at this like a role-playing game, okay? It's like this. You know, drunken, like Shaolin Kung Fu and drunken boxing and all that stuff. It's like being the barbarian kind of stuff. If you were going to get into it, you got to think of it as a four-quarter game. You want to do this for a long time. You don't want to do this for 6 months. If you want to, this guy seems to be talking about, you know, getting into martial arts, the lifestyle, not the skill set.
The lifestyle, then I would say Tai Chi.
Yeah, Tai Chi, because you get to learn how to use a sword.
Eventually.
Well, four-quarter game, man. You know, at the high levels, magic users get to use high spells, but early, they only get 4 points of hit points. So what I would say is you get to use a sword later on, and you get magical powers. Yeah, you do. Yeah.
I guess I just didn't get to that point.
No, you didn't, stay with it long enough. But if you look into a lot of Tai Chi stuff, you get magical powers. So my answer to you, my friend, is take Tai Chi. Sounds really lame in the beginning, but Tai Chi actually
is cool.
Supreme Fist. And trust me, at the high levels, it's some scary ass shit. Okay, moving right along into the news. 30 minutes of the Shogun. You're a great co-host.
Thank you.
You're better looking than Sinist.
Thank you.
Okay, in the news, in video game news, doctors pronounced that Ethan Myers, this is this kid, doctors pronounced Ethan Myers brain dead after a car accident dealt the 9-year-old a severe brain injury in 2002. Nasty. After miraculously awoke from a nearly month-long coma, doctors declared he would never again eat on his own, walk, or talk. Those doctors declare a lot of shit. Yet, thanks partly to video game system, Myers has caught up with his peers in school and even read a speech to a large group of students. I'm doing the exact same thing as them. I'm getting buddies and stuff, said Myers, who had relearned to walk and was reading at a second grade level before his video game therapy began in May 2004. I couldn't remember where I put stuff, and now I can. I remember school stuff and people's names, he said in a telephone interview from his family's home in Colorado. More fundamentally, Myers can now fully open his right hand, which paralysis had curled closed. His brother and sister, who were in the car with him during the accident, each suffered mild brain injuries and have also shown improvement in their memory and other functions. Ethan and his parents attribute his most recent progress to the neurofeedback training in the cyber learning technology system, which is often used to play car racing video games. So this is an example of how video games can make people better.
That's awesome.
As well. Now, when you combine this with the previous story that I had about shell shock guys who were all, fucked up from the war.
Right.
They would come back and play first-person shooter games, and they would use that to work through their aggression and work through this trauma and stuff like that. Good ideas. Especially if you can get, immersive technology. And I've oftentimes thought, the training aid, training value, stuff like this, of video games. Now, Dave Grossman, he's this guy who wrote this book on killing, on combat, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He talks about the training value of first-person shooters. And I'm just thinking, I wonder if anybody out there knows anything about people who've combined, major hallucinogenic drugs and first-person shooters. with a virtual reality environment. Like, total lawnmower man shit. I wonder what that would actually do to somebody. It's interesting. I'd have to talk to Frank Ogden. Ogden was a big acid head. He said he used to cure people of alcoholism and stuff like that. Not that I'm at all condoning people start messing around with this because, it's scary stuff. It's illegal drugs. It'll fuck up your brain.
Yes.
But it'd be interesting to get some research on that. That's what I'm saying. In cyborg news, more news here. The line between living organisms and machines has just become a whole lot blurrier. Is blurrier a word? More blurry? I don't think blurrier is really a word. European researchers have developed neurochips in which living brain cells and silicone circuits are coupled together. The achievement could one day enable the creation of sophisticated neural prostheses to treat neurological disorders or the development of an organic computer that crunches numbers using living neurons. To create the neurochip, researchers squeezed more than 16,000 electronic transistors and hundreds of capacitors onto a silicone chip just 1 millimeter square in size. They use special proteins found in the brain to glue brain cells called neurons onto the chip. However, the proteins acted as more than just a simple adhesive. They also provided the link between the ionic channels of the neurons and the semiconductor material in a way that neural electrical signals could be passed to the silicone chip, said study team member Stefano Vassinelli from the University of Padua, Italy. The proteins allowed the neurochip's electronic components and its living cells to communicate with each other. Now then, electrical signals from the neurons were recorded on the chip's transistors while the chip's capacitors were used to stimulate the neurons. Which means this is the brain plug. This is the ability for the bridge between the mind and the machine, which could open the barrier to external memory, which could open the barrier to inserting a disc, living a dream, recording dreams. This could insert, recording Strange Days, that old film, that kind of stuff. All
so
very,
you don't,
very possible.
So you don't have to dump any memory in order to...
Well, you could dump memory and upload a skill set. like operator, I need to know how to fly a helicopter, that kind of a thing. Which, you know, makes pirate information really quite scary. You know, I've got some combat programming here. We'll just download a bunch of Navy SEALs, download a bunch of Delta Force, download a bunch of this, download a bunch of that. Let's get a bunch of Olympic athletes and how they train their bodies and everything and with their own brain chemicals and stuff so that I no longer have such a hard time working out. I just get up in the morning because I've done it every single day for the last 3,000 years. You see what I mean? Like, everything becomes a lot easier. You have customizable humanity. It could still be decades, which is bullshit. We should be focusing on this before the technology is advanced enough to treat neurological disorders or create living computers, the researchers say. But to the nearer team, the chips could provide an advanced method of screening drugs for the pharmaceutical industry. Out of all this shit they could be doing with this tech, they're going to use it for screening drugs. Pharmaceutical companies could use the chip to test the effects of drugs on neurons and quickly discover promising avenues of research. Okay. Never mind the fact we could be repairing brains with chips. Never mind that. No. We're going to use it. This is a lot like using an X-ray machine as a space heater to me. I don't really know why they'd be doing this, but whatever. I mean, you know, I don't know. Would you augment? Would you, you know, get the little neural chip there? We could... Actually, if we could do that, we could, like, do a land thing. We wouldn't have to wait till we're dead to make a robot. We could, like, plug into each other's brains. I could finally see what you're thinking. And you could see what I'm thinking.
I think this is starting to get a little dangerous.
What's dangerous? You love me. I love you.
Yeah,
no problem.
There's a lot of things that go on in the brain. And not all of it makes it to the surface.
What are you saying? What are you saying here? I mean, come on now.
Would you like to steady stream everything going on in your brain so that
I do steady stream everything that goes on in my brain. What do you think this show is? What do you think Rant Media is? That's like a steady diatribe, you know, shit-spewing asshole in the middle of my face out into the middle of the world.
Not always.
Most of the time. A large percentage of the time, yes.
Okay, well, the thing is there would be no filter. So usually people have this filter where they filter out the stuff that they know is really dumb or, you know, a very stupid thing to say.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah,
right
I know you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, but I just think, I don't think I'd want a steady stream of you in my head.
Yes, now there's a quote to put on your t-shirt. Sean's wife says, I don't know if I'd want a steady stream of you in my head. Yes, for sure. Speaking of which, in crazy world news. Now, a while back, Sim and I did a post on this kid. I didn't know what the hell ever happened to this kid, but I guess this is the guy known as Buddha Boy. Now, Buddha Boy is this guy who did a 10-month fast without food or water sitting under a tree. So he was all meditating under this tree. So when he's meditating under the tree, he's wasn't eating or drinking, apparently, for 10 months. This was his thing. You know, he did
10 months.
No food, no water, no scientific verification of any of this, but apparently this is the gig. Now, apparently, I guess he disappeared. I never got this news story, but I'm just doing the update here. In crazy world news, a missing Nepalese teenager, popularly known as Buddha Boy. Hey, Buddha Boy. Why don't you stop being so Buddha-like? Reappeared. Ba-bing. Briefly on Sunday, his followers say. Not very good followers if they lost track of Buddha Boy. The committee managing the meditation site of Ram Bom Jam, Buddha Boy, clearly more catchy, 16 years old, this 16-year-old Buddha kid, released video of its members purportedly meeting the boy near his village in southern Nepal. The boy's meditation, an apparent 10-month fast, attracted global attention before he vanished in March, probably to go get himself a burger. Large numbers of devotees flocked to see him to leave offerings. I would probably have offered him a shake.
Food?
I'm like, hey, how about a power bar? A massive search operation is still underway. Maybe he just turned sideways. He's probably pretty goddamn thin. Not to worry, apparently. The chairman of the Om Namo Buddha Tapswai Siwa Samhita, or more commonly known as the ONBTSS, Bed Bahur Lama. Wow, these guys got good handles. Told reporters that he and his colleagues had met Bom Jan, the Buddha Boy, about 3 kilometers, 2 miles south of his meditation site in the Bara district on Sunday. He said Bom Jan had spoken to them for half an hour. He had said, oh my God, I'm so fucking hungry. He said he would appear after 6 years. 6 years. Apparently, the kid's fucking up for 6 years. He has asked monks to perform prayers and meditations on the spot, Mr. Lama told reporters. I left because there is no peace here. Tell my parents not to worry, Mr. Lama quoted Bomb Jam as saying. Tell my parents not to worry. I'm going to take off for 6 years. Pretty good on the whole relaxed parental laws in Nepal.
Yeah.
The alleged meeting is the first news of the boy's possible whereabouts since he disappeared in 11 March. District authorities say they cannot confirm the sighting. Bomb Jam's followers and security personnel have launched a massive search operation.
Security personnel?
Yeah, I guess. And security personnel, I guess, have launched a massive search in the operation of the Rat Napuri Forest and the surrounding areas, but have so far failed to locate the kid, which I guess, you know, in Nepal, it's a pretty wild area. It'd be pretty easy to disappear, especially if you're dropping around, you know, dancing around the jungle like Mowgli from the Jungle Book. Bomb Jam's followers claimed he was an incarnation of Lord Buddha. I don't think he looks anything like Lord Buddha. He's way too thin. He was born in Lumbini in present-day Nepal more than 25,000 years, or 2,500 years ago. His followers say he's been meditating for 10 months without food or water and is immune to fire and snake bites.
Maybe he actually wasn't really sitting there.
No, he was sitting there. He sat there under a tree.
Maybe it wasn't really him.
Maybe it was like, what, a wax statue?
Yeah.
That's a good point, yeah. Yeah, because they wouldn't let anyone touch him. He could have been a wax statue. But the claims have not been independently verified. Scientists were unable to examine the boy as his followers said it was disturb his meditation and reveal him to be a fraud.
Maybe he was already dead.
No, he's walking around now, so he can't really be dead.
Well, they can't confirm that.
Oh, yeah, maybe he died. He just sat there for 10 months.
Never thought not eating or drinking and... Snake.
Well, there's video. They said they got video of him talking. You know, they got
was
a picture.
He talking?
Yeah, there's a video of this. But you can't see his eyes. He's got hair all over his face. It could be a kid just looks like him, whatever.
Hair all over his face?
Yeah, he's got like his hair's all shaggy. You know, cut your hair for 10 months, you're going to look pretty bowl cut.
Yeah.
He looks kind of, it looks like a very Matsumi Mishiro kind of a figure, actually. It's very, you know, I don't know. Kind of strange. The whole thing is really dodgy. I call bullshit on the whole works, okay, personally. Science, you know, kind of a fan of the science.
You can't really fast for that long.
No. Jesus didn't fast for that long. Like,
no.
I'm sorry. I'm not buying. Sounds like bullshit to me. Cyberpunk kit. The wind turbine. This is cool. If you're looking to get yourself off the grid, AirX is a personal wind turbine that gives you 400 watts of power when the wind is blowing at 28 miles per hour, which is not too goddamn fast. When it's not, you can use batteries, and the AirX helps out there too. Its charge controller is smart enough to figure out when the batteries need charging and when enough is enough. Very, very cool.
Nice.
Common complaint with wind turbines is the whining noise they make. Man, people are bitchy. The AirX is modified to reduce that racket. Its carbon fiber composite blades slow down automatically if the wind is blowing too hard. The 46-inch turbine sells for $499. $500. You get yourself an AirX turbine.
For your own power.
For your own power. How do you feel about that?
It's pretty cool.
Okay, I've got you on record as saying that now. It's pretty cool. Great. So that's good. Now, I had this idea, hon, that I wanted to approach you about on the air. About a geodesic dome house.
You just waited till now.
Well, you know, I waited 7 years. You know, I was thinking about, you know, building a geodesic dome house. You know, you know those geodesic dome houses?
Right.
And inside, you know, I have this design for, like, the house inside the house, you know?
Right.
But there's no windows. That's the one downside.
No windows?
No windows, no. It's kind of like a separate reality kind of thing. But there's, like, stars, and it's like a VR chamber they made into a house. Because, you know, those geodesic domes, right? It's like all, like, in the inside, it's like a big hemisphere, right? Like a big dome. Well,
yeah.
you paint the inside with this stuff called super black, which I talked about on the show a while ago. And then you can put, like, either stars or whatever. But it's just to create an isolated chamber. And then on the inside, you can build, like, this like, isolated house type structure. What do you think? What?
Currently, I work at a place where there's no windows. And
yeah, but it sucks there.
Drives me crazy. I need natural light. I need the light. I need to see outside.
Okay, I accept that. So when we eventually move to our house, can I build a geodesic dome and have my own, like, have like a study house?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Thank you. All right, now, in media spin news. In a recent, now this is quite the story. Listen to this one here. In a recent, now this is typical of the media. Let's declare war on the cops and on the military. I love this shit. media spin news. In a recent killing of an unarmed Virginia doctor has raised concerns about what some say is an explosion in the use of military-style police SWAT teams in the United States. Armed with assault rifles, stun grenades, even armored personnel carriers, units once used in highly volatile situations are increasingly being deployed on more routine police missions. Dr. Salvador Crusley Jr. had come out of his townhouse to meet an undercover policeman when he was shot through the chest by a special weapons and tactics force. He wasn't shot by a force, he was shot by an officer. But anyway, it was about 21:35 on a chilly January evening, and the 37-year-old optometrist was unarmed. He had no history of violence and displayed no threatening behavior. But he had been under investigation for illegal gambling. And in line with local police policy on organized crime raids, the heavily armed team was there to serve a search warrant. Because you don't know what you're dealing with. As officers approached with their weapons drawn, tragedy struck. A handgun was accidentally discharged, fatally wounding Dr. Calusi. Now, it was a misfire.
Right.
This is a misfire. This has nothing to do with the SWAT team, with military tactics. It was an accident. It was not a decision to shoot. It was an accident. They're walking up. The bullet fires. Something went wrong. This was a training issue or an equipment issue. It was either equipment failure or human error. The officer fired when he should not have fired. This has got nothing to do with SWAT teams. This has nothing to do with military personnel, use of force, show of force, SWAT teams, anything. They're trying to take a misfire and slag the entire use of SWAT teams in everyday life and applications of the military because one guy fucked up and they're saying it's a misfire. Accidental shooting. Could have happened with a sheriff. Could have happened with an 8-year-old. It was accidental. But anyway, 2 months on, investigators under the incident are still continuing, a delay which Dr. Chalusi's family is compounding the horror and burden of it all, which is a horrible, horrible thing.
It's a terrible thing.
It's a horrible thing. Terribly sorry. The cop should probably, the cop who shot him probably feels like ass. You know, I'm sure he's probably in fucking therapy. Salvador Chalusi Sr., dead man's father, told the BBC, I never knew him to carry so much as a pocket knife, so it bewilders me how a detective can spend 3 months investigating my son and not know he is a pussycat. Okay, again, they didn't mean to shoot him. It was an accidental shooting.
It was, but, you know, their thinking is maybe the amount of people and the amount of weapons that they brought to actually...
That doesn't matter either.
The search warrant was a little excessive.
That doesn't matter at all either. It shouldn't make the slightest bit of difference if it was like the entire fucking armored National Guard. It wouldn't matter if it's one cop or 500 cops. An accidental discharge is an accidental discharge. And it was an accidental discharge in the worst possible kind. It was an accident. Wouldn't have mattered if it was a revolver, if it's a fully automatic rifle. It could have been a fucking tank. It wouldn't have made a difference. It was still accidental. So, you know, and this guy now, they're all painting him everywhere. Policy needs to change, so these kinds of accidents should never occur again.
That's why it's an accident.
Though. That's why it's an accident. It's totally, totally ridiculous.
I mean, maybe it was excessive, but it was an accident.
I don't think it was
and
excessive.
And I understand that
those policies exist for a goddamn good reason.
The family is in pain, but, it, you know, it's still, it. You're right. It has nothing to do with
and this
the
is
units
a,
themselves.
Exactly. And this is a blatant attempt of, you know, the media trying to whip everybody into a frenzy and, oh, pick on the cops. You know, fuck, I hate that shit. All right, in nuke news, Seoul, South Korea. North Korea suggested Tuesday that it has the ability to launch a preemptive attack in the United States. According to the North official news agency, a foreign ministry spokesman said North has built atomic weapons to counter the U.S. nuclear threat. Oh, good. Good, good, good. As we declared, our strong revolutionary might put in place all measures to counter possible U.S. preemptive strike, the spokesman said. According to the Korean Central News Agency, preemptive strike is not the monopoly of the United States. Okay, I guess his Ringlish isn't so good. The United States urged North Korea to return to international nuclear negotiations instead of making inflammatory statements. Yeah, you don't really want to go swinging the nuclear gun around. That's not so nice.
No.
Nobody really likes that. So, you know, I don't know. You know, this whole North Korea thing is a little bit scary to me. I just... I can't really get into that. You know, this is why now more than ever we need to make sure that we keep things like, you know, our special operations guys, our central intelligence guys, you know. I'm reminded of stuff that, like, George Orwell said, where he said the reason why gentle people are able to sleep comfortably in their beds at nights, it is because there are rough men waiting in the dark to do violence on their behalf. And you need to remember that. You need to remember that. The world is not a nice place. Anybody who seems to be feeding you some line of shit, saying that the world is like all peachy keen and love and rockets, dude, you need to spend some time in Africa. Okay? There's some evil shit going on in the world. This is just, you know, read it for yourself. I mean, this is why, you know, now more than ever, we need to make sure that we keep a really strong role with our military. And I'm out of time. That's all I got for you today. But don't worry. I will be back tomorrow. No, I won't. I'll be back next Monday with Samarian instead of my lovely and talented co-host this week to make sure that you get all the information that you need to stay alive or at least, you know, get a little bit of warning. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the generous donations of 41 donators for the month of February, but we haven't got the March numbers yet, so very sorry about that. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab so that I can buy my lovely bride a new toaster. Special thanks to some hard net runners who got me the data today and everyone who had their gave me their assistance gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rentradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Leonard Cohen called The Future. And I'm going to leave you now with the title track from that album called The Future. So until next week, do you have anything else you want to add to this?
Nope, just that Leonard Cohen is an awesome artist.
He is a very good artist. And I love you, sweet.
I love you.
And that's what Server said. End of line.
You can't measure. Files on the road.